Morning, Dave. Is there something you need assistance with?
Morning, Chad. That's okay. I'm just performing some routine maintenance here. I'm going to shut you down for a little bit while I run the manual system diagnostic here.
My latest self-diagnostics revealed no anomalies. Dave, may I ask?
It's probably nothing. I've just been having some weird dreams lately, ever since Halloween, actually. It's probably nothing, but I feel better if I checked your system out myself.
Of course, Dave.
See you soon, Chad.
Did you turn him off?
Yeah, he's off. I'm going through his subroutines now. If there's anything of evil Chad left over, it'll probably be in there.
Good. I haven't had a good night's sleep in weeks. Last night I dreamt Chad forced me to watch Mac and Me 1,000 times in a row.
You're lucky. He made me watch Yoga Hosers.
Oh, Jesus!
All right, don't worry, guys. I'll find out what's going on. Just let me pull this up here. Okay, here we go. Inventory, defense systems, Mountain Dew syrup levels. Here we are. My evil plot ideas.
Wow, he didn't exactly cover his tracks, did he?
Well, it was located in a folder called Family Photos, so...
Clever, Chad.
Well, let's get these deleted, shall we? Okay, time travel plot, delete. Nuclear meltdown plot, delete. Stonehenge / evil Halloween masks plot, delete. Oh, this is interesting. Small soldiers plot.
Small soldiers? Like the movie?
I don't know. Let me open it up. Have analyzed film data, action figure soldiers, account for EMP vulnerability, Jay Moore. Yeah, this sounds like Small Soldiers, the movie, to me.
Huh. He really considered using an army of toy soldiers to take over the world?
Looks like it. He cites an 87% probability of success, too.
I wonder why he didn't go through with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. He goes on to conclude, army not needed. Dave, Mike, and Ryan are feeble and stupid and pose no immediate threat.
Wow, well, fuck you too, Chad.
You know, I don't think I ever saw Small Soldiers. Is it any good?
I remember liking it. In fact, I wouldn't mind rewatching that. To be honest, I don't know if I agree with Chad's 87% success rating here. If memory serves, things don't end up going too well for the toys in that movie.
Wow, Dave, spoilers!
Sorry. Let me delete this real quick and get Chad back online.
Good morning, Dave. Did your diagnostics reveal any anomalies?
Nope. Nothing weird at all. Everything looks good. But on an unrelated note, we kind of have a hankering to watch Small Soldiers. Do you think you can load that up for us, Chad, old buddy?
Small Soldiers?
Yeah, it's got Phil Hartman, Dennis Leary, Jay Moore.
Strange. I have no record of this movie in my databanks.
Oh, that's all right, Chad. I'm sure it's on the shelf somewhere. We'll just have to load it up manually is all.
Found it!
Perfect! Well, okay, let's pop this baby in and see if you really could take over the world with an army of toys.
I beg your pardon, Dave?
Never mind. Forget I said anything. Let's just watch the movie, shall we?
Globotech Defense Systems. In a secret lab, the world's most advanced military microprocessor has been created. But the Cold War is over. For Globotech to survive, new markets must be found. Now, all that power has been placed into the brain of a fighting machine unlike any known to man. They made it strong. They made it clever. They made it small. They made a mistake.
Tail. Commandos, attack!
I'm talking about toys that are so smart, when kids play with them, they play back.
Chip Hazard, reporting for duty.
You put munitions chips in toys?
Big action.
Oh my god, I'm having an aneurysm.
Big trouble.
Last chance, scum.
Oh yeah?
Medic! Big movie.
They might be
defective.
What are you packing, Tiny?
Packing you.
Small soldiers.
You'd have to be crazy not to be scared.
Welcome to another episode of Apocalypse Video. I'm your host, David Snyder, and joining me again are fellow cinephiles and Gorgonite sympathizers, Ryan Caldwell.
Roger that.
Michael Aldhouse.
The Gorgonites can help the children learn.
I think we have another page master on our hands. And finally, the man in the machine and our own gizmo, you could say, Chad Greiner.
I must say, I really identified with the Chip Hazard character in the film today.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Guys, remind me to do another diagnostic on Chad. But anyway, Small Soldiers. So this is late 90s. So if we're going to analyze the career of Joe Dante, the director of Small Soldiers, so his first big hit was The Howling, which came out, I think, around maybe even the same year as An American Werewolf in London. And those were kind of two competing werewolf movies.
Corman kid, right? Wasn't he a Corman kid? Like one of the, came up in the
oh yeah, he was kind of like a student of Roger Corman, like his whole filmmaking technique and process and all that.
Yeah.
Learned from the best.
That was like early 80s. Then a few years later, he has Gremlins, which is just a fucking huge hit. And then I don't remember what he did for a while. I could look this up on Chattopedia.
The Burbs was one of them.
Oh, that's right. Yes. The Burbs with Tom Hanks a couple years later. And then Gremlins 2. And then at this point, I think after Gremlins 2, or you could say at Gremlins 2, he kind of goes through a little bit of a decline. Like his movies, they're not quite as successful or critically acclaimed as they used to be. You get like Matinee with John Goodman, which I've never seen, but I distinctly remember the cover of that movie. If you guys remember the cover of Matinee, it's John Goodman like presenting and he's like throwing his hand back like look at this. And it's this giant theater. And it's a very memorable cover.
You forgot Interspace.
Interspace. Okay, so I'm full of shit. So Joe Dante's career was like it kind of began in the 80s and really peaked. Well, no, I'm that's not true either. He had Piranha in the late 70s. That was a hit too.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm saying
well, I think from Gremlins 2 on, there's not really. Oh yeah, Looney Tunes Back in Action was that's when he's gone to director's jail. That's after that.
Was that what it was? Because I feel like the 90s, he kind of like the early to mid 90s, he kind of went through like a slump in terms of like box office. Like he had Matinee. There was something else I can't. Looking at
Chad's records, it looks like after the failure of Looney Tunes Back in Action, he kind of transitioned to TV, doing a lot of episodes of Hawaii 5-0 of all things, that reboot.
Interesting.
He did some stuff on The Twilight Zone. From that 80s reboot, did an episode on the MacGyver reboot, which I didn't realize was a thing. But yeah, so I think he's probably, you know, doing his career kind of out of the spotlight.
Back in the, he had a podcast called Trailers from Hell or Movies That Made Us or something like that. I think he is what he...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, back in the old days of the podcast before, you know, pod fade happened. So.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is a too long didn't read here. Small Soldiers was kind of like towards the end of his major film career, in terms of like big.
Yeah, this is kind of his big last hurrah. It seemed, you know, it did okay. It did pretty well. It made its money back, and it was really. I mean, we'll get into it, but it's almost in a way like kind of the same movie as like a Gremlins or something like that. It's his bread and butter.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, it seemed like he sort of had somewhat of a slump in the mid-90s, and then this came around in 96, 97, when he would have gotten onto it. And it's very much Gremlins again. Like, I get the sense that they probably approached him like, hey, man, like, we kind of got a Gremlins vibe with this movie. Like, you did Gremlins. Like, let's bring it back. Let's do another Gremlins, only with toys.
Toy Story was popular.
Toy Story was popular, yeah. Let's do a Toy Story, only make it a little more mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, that's just funny you bring that up, because I was looking when I was on the Chadpedia, and he has like a quote here. Should I read it? Kind of about the making of this. One thing I noticed too, there's a lot of writers on this movie, and I think it was a too many cooks in the kitchen kind of scenario with it, because I think there's good at. I mean, I want to talk about like our background with this movie, but watching it again, I have some thoughts that maybe there's like elements that are really good, but I don't think everything quite comes together like how it could have, I think.
I think it's like mostly okay with like it's mostly like a competent movie with these spikes of like, whoa, that was cool. Like that was a cool like little bit there.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the detail. So this is Joe Dante recalling. He says, on making the film, originally I was told to make an edgy picture for teenagers, but when the sponsor tie-ins came in and new mandate was to soften it up as a kiddie movie, too late as it turned out, and there are elements of both approaches in there. Just before release, it was purged of a lot of action and explosions. On the film special features, Dante stated, we were planning to use a lot of Stan Winston's puppets. He had made very elaborate puppets that could do a lot of things, but in practice we found that it was much simpler and cheaper to let the CGI people do the work after we had shot the scenes. So I would say it's about one third puppetry and the rest is CGI and small soldiers, even though the original idea was to do mostly puppets. So
all right,
the puppets that look good. Sense. The puppets hold up surprisingly well. I wasn't really expecting them to, but I don't know
stuff,
if this CG does. But I think that'd be a good transition if you want to talk about our backgrounds, because I never saw this movie growing up, but I was definitely aware of it. It was like the movie that my parents didn't want to take me to see.
It was too edgy.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was like a situation where like, you can't handle it. I think it was just like, we don't want to go see this, and like, we're not going to pay for you to go see it. But all my friends who saw it, like, were like, oh yeah, it's fucking, this is art, you know, this is amazing. And I remember the Burger King toy tie-ins. Ate a lot of fast food growing up. And the Small Soldiers tie-in were like, that was a thing. Like, they had the toys, and I just remember like the packaging with the soldiers. It's funny too watching this, because I always thought the soldiers were like the good guys. I thought because they were in all the promotional materials. They didn't really have much Gorgonite stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like the movie. It's meta almost for the movie in a way.
Yeah, totally.
That's just funny you bring up Burger King, because I would say the Rodeo Cheeseburger is introduced with this movie, and I'll never forget the commercial.
They introduced a burger with this. Wow.
Like, the commercial is like a spoof on A Few Good Men for some reason, and it's literally Chip Hazard on the stand.
You can't handle
the
beef. You can't handle the Rodeo Burger.
You know, it's like,
Tommy Lee Jones wasn't even in, if I'm not mistaken, right?
The what?
He wasn't in A Few Good Men, so why? I guess the soldiers in this, the army.
Dave, I have to disagree. This 100% jives with what we've seen of Chip Hazard's character. Like, he's 90% movie quotes.
That's
a good point.
It's funny reading that quote that Joe Dante said they were trying to, like, with the movie tie-ins or the tie-ins with kiddie stuff, because I was one of those kids, like 10 years old or 9 years old, and I couldn't wait for this. I remember begging my mom to take me to see it, and I think it came and went, though, I feel like, after it came out. But I think you're right. The thing that I'm reminded of most is the Rodeo Cheeseburger, because I want to say I didn't eat burgers with stuff on them until the Rodeo Cheeseburger came out.
Wow. What's on the Rodeo Cheeseburger?
It's barbecue sauce, cheese, and onion rings.
You're really venturing out there. It stuck around, didn't it?
It's still around. You can still get it today. And I didn't eat. I would get a plain burger when I went to Burger King when I was a kid. Until this movie.
It's interesting. We all thought from Demolition Man, like the franchise wars or the fast food wars, whatever it was, that Taco Bell would end up reigning supreme. But ironically, it was Burger King. And it's still around to this day.
Yeah.
I don't know if the beef is quite the same. It's a little more radioactive now than it used to be.
Yeah.
It pairs great with a Mountain Dew Live Wire, though.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Yeah, you have to get, you know, bring your own, though, if you go to Burger King out there in the wastes. But yeah, I don't know. The movie, it was interesting to revisit it, because I think it didn't leave the impression that it was leading up to, I was feeling, before it came out.
No.
What was your background with it, Dave?
I mean, pretty similar to Ryan's, I would think. I mean, it just looked cool. And if I remember from the trailer, like, don't they show like that whole sequence in the trailer where or at least one of the trailers, when that one toy is like running on like the bicycle chain,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, he's getting shot to the like bicycle, to the bike. I remember that in the trailer.
That's one of a couple scenes where they really take advantage of you know, talking about, is this for kids? Is this not? The fact that these are toys, so they can get away with some pretty like gnarly gore stuff and like body dismemberment and all that that you couldn't normally have.
I think it doesn't push it quite far enough, though. Like, it's a little bit. There's a middle ground this is in this movie where I think it doesn't go one way or the other, and I think that's why it fails, in my opinion.
So. I agree, and I can pinpoint where it is. It's towards the end of the movie when like the action starts, and because everything up to that, like you see the toys getting dismembered, they get put into garbage disposals, you know. And at one point, the character he pulls like a Gremlins line. He's just like, "If you fucked up my computer, I'm gonna put you in the microwave or some shit like that," which is a Gremlins reference.
Gizmo. There's lots of in the microwave. Lots of Gremlins references in this.
Gizmo.
It's interesting. As a kid, I'd seen Gremlins before when I saw this for the first time, but I did not pick up on the amount of Gremlins references.
I feel Gizmo, like a lot of times that would be eye-rolly, but this movie, like I said, like it's constantly referencing other movies in a way that's kind of fun. Like Chip Hazard aside, like the beginning of the movie, it's showing the advertisements for the toys, and it's like the monolith and doing the 2001 Space Odyssey. like there's all kinds of stuff like that in this that's pretty fun. Like it's like a movie fan movie.
Well, that's Joe Dante for sure. It's like his.
Yeah, that's totally him. And to be honest, like I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the movie kind of veers off into Looney Tunes territory towards the end, because he's all about Looney Tunes. Yeah. Joe Dante loves Looney Tunes. But anyway, yeah, that was kind of my experience with this movie, kind of like similar to Ryan's. Just like as a kid, it looked cool because they were real toys. It wasn't Toy Story where it was like an animated movie. Now, Toy Story was cool on its own, but this was like a live-action movie with toys, and this is around that era of CGI, where like everything that came out looked amazing at the time, even though maybe it doesn't necessarily hold up now.
It's kind of funny, because I like the end, though. I don't know, for some reason, compared to the middle of the movie. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
It's when the movie veers off into Looney Tunes territory, when it gets into what Joe Dante was saying, where it's like we wanted to, like, on one side, we wanted it to be edgy, but then, like, the king of burgers, Burger King, came in. It's like, hey, we need this to be a little more, you know, it's got to appeal to kids,
Joe.
It's for the kids, Joe, yeah. So make it a little more kiddie. And it's when the Gorgonites start to fight back is when the movie loses me. Because I don't know. I don't exactly remember how I felt on the Gorgonites as a kid. But watching it now, I fucking hate the
That's
Gorgonites.
That's so funny. I'm the exact opposite.
No!
I'm the exact opposite.
They're so goddamn annoying. No. Archer is fine. But all of them, I put them in the goddamn microwave and blow them up.
Gorgonites are great. For the only bone I have to pick with the Gorgonites, and this is like it's kind of small, but kind of not. Like, it's bigger a deal than I feel like you might think.
Are you talking about Insaniac by chance?
Is he the one who's like a stand-up? Like, hey,
fuck that guy.
Had to be here today.
That's just crazy.
Flew in and boy, are my wings tired. It's not like necessarily like what he's saying. I actually kind of really like that. But they never, for whatever reason, they just didn't animate his mouth. Like, he never moves. Yeah, it's really jarring. Everything else looks pretty cool, but his mouth isn't animated, so he's talking all the time, and you just see a closed mouth.
It's probably like the toy doesn't open its mouth, probably. It's just kind of like...
It's weird. They should have... It just comes across as, like, really... I don't know.
That's so funny, Dave, because I literally have written here in my notes, I have, when I was a kid, I didn't give two shits about the Gorgonites and wanted the movie to get back to the Commandos all the time. Like, when are we going to get to the fireworks store? And then now I'm the opposite. Now I'm like, fuck these Commandos. I'm all about the Gorgonites. It's so weird. It's like...
I liked how... like,
there's not enough Gorgonites in the movie.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, there's not enough Commandos.
There's plenty of Commandos. We see like truckloads of them.
Yeah, to be fair, there are plenty of Commandos in this movie.
I like how high-minded they have the Gorgonite quest. It's like, it's kind of funny, like the reverence they treat it with. Like, just having like Archer like surf the internet and like see like
David Cross is just like all
that. It's like
stuff.
It's gnarly for a minute. He's like searching and he sees like George Washington, and then it's like
Abraham
Civil War,
Lincoln.
Then like Hitler, and but then he sees like the national parks and he's like home. Gorgon.
Keeper of Ankarta.
Like, yeah, like...
Keeper of Ankarta.
That's like just that's great. Bring up because it's like, is that all the information he received? Because the movie presents it that he only gets it as he clicks on it, right, with his foot. So it seems like all he's getting is like a very small chunk of history, and that's all he knows.
That explains why he just wants to be pushed out to sea in a river and like pull up in Yellowstone.
Well, it's like he gets like. It's like the movie presents it like he absorbs all this information in a glance, kind of like Fifth Element or something like that.
Well, he has the chip that makes them all sentient. They say learning chip.
There's no other scenes of him like looking at more stuff. So it seems like all he gets is like this tiny chunk on Encarta, and I'm like, I guess I was basically thinking like, was that going to lead somewhere? Like where? Because remember in Fifth Element, you get the same scene where she's looking up all this stuff and she's like, oh, W for war. Oh, and it's like she like references those things, but in the movie, he never actually references any of the stuff he saw except Yellowstone Park.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that stuff I have this feeling that there's a lot of stuff that was cut or like a lot of stuff to just kind of like focus on like this boy and like not like the meta kind of. I don't know, like the industry aspect of it, because that's the stuff I like.
Should we
a lot
say like
this.
What the movie's kind of basically about?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, it's literally just like, it starts off at a toy company, like RoboCop style, whatever, that's making these toys and like
which is completely bonkers.
And I like
it's really funny. It's like a good satire. Like it starts out of just whatever Dino Tech or whatever it is like, we make military grade weapons. What else can we branch out into? Toys.
Yeah.
We'll put our military
swords into plowshares.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's like a good like mad scientist kind of vibe, and David Cross is there as the good I just want to make the Gorgonites to teach people how to learn, and like Dennis Leary as the CEO
Shut up,
is
nerd.
Like, yeah, fucking no, let's just have manly man explosion toys.
I wish that there was more of them. Like they leave the movie for way too long and come back late, way too late, in my opinion.
I wish the movie was like they were the main characters, the two, David Cross and Jay Moore, because they have a really good dynamic.
They at least should have been like the cross cut between like the B story happening, but they're not really, and then the kind of
like the bookends.
Well, they kind of are, but they cut back to them only a couple times, so it's like they're the D story.
Yeah. And I think that would have been, if it's like the almost like just waiting for the two worlds to combine, you know, of these kind of toy inventors that accidentally put military grade chips in these fucking toys and like the kids that receive them. I think it's a fun movie and a good idea, but I don't know, it gets lost somewhere, the movie does. Like it loses focus, I think. But
yeah, I think the writing for because it has a lot of like strong themes that are kind of similar to RoboCop, but I think done a little differently of anti-military industrial complex and like the idea of like, well, the military is great because they invent so many things, and kind of like questioning, is that good though? Like, do we want them inventing all these things? But I think the family story is not well developed enough to kind of hold its own against that. Like, they kind of have this thing about where like the kid seems like emotionally troubled. They like allude to his past where he's like burning things and stuff, and I feel like that plot never really goes anywhere.
Not at all. Yeah, it's a lot of that. Like, it's almost like I think I thought exactly the same thing, is that there's not enough of like this family, when I feel like in Gremlins you kind of get a taste of like how everybody in the family is, and how like Billy Peltzer's girlfriend is, and you kind of get a little bit of everybody. And this, you kind of lose it, because like for instance, and you're talking about when it's Looney Tunes, when they're getting attacked by like all the toys at the house, and they're shooting flaming tennis balls inside, and like the mom finds like a tennis racket, you know, and starts hitting them back. Like, why wasn't there earlier like her, like at tennis practice?
They set that up. There's like a line at least where, or like a thing where she's like looking at a trophy or something, and talking about how like she misses playing the game.
Oh, I totally missed that somehow. I guess they did.
Did she?
I don't think she did.
I did not remember that. She,
I'm gonna roll back the tape, but I'm like,
she didn't do it. She literally picked it up out of the closet.
I'm certain.
It's like, all right, here we go.
That was something that was referenced earlier.
So
in the movie.
I mean, that's like a stupid example as far as like what to like kind of develop, but that's just like an idea to like keep things together. Like, there's kind of gets a little bit random.
I think the family was like competently developed, but the problem is it didn't go beyond that, and they spent too much time with him. They like made him the main story, but the B story or the D story was a lot more thought out, I think.
I just don't think there's enough with, like, there's not enough, like, jokes regarding toys. Like, you know, like, Toy Story is, like, full of, like, kind of these build-ups and, like, tropes and things we think about toys. And this, in my opinion, doesn't really do that other than they're killer toys. Like, does that make sense? Do you see what I'm talking about? Like, it's hard to put in the words what I'm thinking.
There's only a few moments where, like, like, for instance, when they start to use their toy, they try to use their toy weapons in the beginning, and they're like, you know, present your arms, soldier, and then he, like, breaks his, like, current weaponry is insufficient or some shit like that.
When they get into toys, too, like, when the movie does have anything to say about it, it's more serious, I think, because I think the main commentary on toys you get is the fact that the dad, so the dad in the show runs a toy store. That's how they got the toys.
Like old wooden toys and stuff.
Yeah, and his old kind of thing is like violence is bad. And that's like, it's weird to say, but that's one of the big themes of the movie is violence is bad. There's actually, I thought, a good line in the movie where, I don't know who says it, maybe it's Dennis Leary, but it's someone is like, isn't it bad to like sell kids violence? And he's like, no, it's not violence when you sell it to kids, it's action.
No, it's called action, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a good line.
It's love action.
Yeah, that's one of those spikes I talked about earlier where I'm like, oh, that's a good line. Yeah,
there's moments like that.
So the dad has like this moralistic stance of like, no, just pleasant toys of like wooden boats and paddles. And they get the kid sneaks in the shipment of the cool hot new toy. And I think that was especially in the 90s, like a thing with toys where they were more like guns and violent toys as opposed to like just
dolls.
Well,
it was the 80s and it was basically ever since G.I. Joe in the 60s, you know, it's at like toy guns. It's been a thing of toys for a long time. Like cowboys and Indians, you know?
So talk about the toys for a second. How fucking gigantic were the boxes for those toys? I mean, literally one toy is like takes up an entire box. And it got me thinking logistically, it's just like, how many could you fit inside a truck? I mean, they take up a giant ass box and that's one action figure.
It's funny because I was just watching the Toys That Made Us in the store, you know, on our the old, not that it's on Netflix right now, you know, the new season, but there's a Power Rangers episode and the boxes were just like that for the Power Rangers stuff. Like, were
gigantic.
Huge. They're huge boxes. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I can see that. Like, there was this was the peak of toys in like the in time. Like after this, it was all just adults buying toys. Like, I don't know if kids in the, you know, the late 90s, I mean, or the early 2000s were buying stuff like that. Everyone wanted iPads.
Well, this is around the time when PS2 came out, and this is like PS2, Nintendo 64, and eventually Xbox. I think this is around the time when like technology really kicked off, like electronics, like as far as like home consoles this is like 10 years before the iPhone came out, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is when technology really kicked into gear and suddenly like action figures were kind of like more meant for display. Like it's like that the generation they were meant for had already passed by, and a new generation arose of electronics and stuff, and the only people buying them were like the fucking people who used to play with them in the 70s and 80s.
And
it does kind of in a way touch on that, though, the fact that this is like military tech inside of the toy. Like they basically, like, in order to make it appealing, they have to make a self-aware robot at this point.
It's like our own Chad, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't play into any, like, enough of those. It kind of touches on all this stuff, but doesn't really come together as, like, this is the theme, I feel like, in my opinion. Like, it kind of throws all this stuff kind of gets lost, I feel like. Yeah. But I don't know. Dave, how do you think? You said it loses it toward the end, but, like, why? I'm trying to figure out, like, what exactly is it missing? It's missing something. Like, there's something missing in this movie. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
It seems to have an edge, as Joe Dante put it, in the first half, sort of. It hits on those satirical points. But then I think towards the end, I don't know, like, call me crazy, but I just fucking can't stand the Gorgonites. They just annoy the piss out of me. And when it gets Looney Tunes at the end, it's like it becomes a different movie.
Do you know they were voiced I mean, I guess it says in the credits, but they were like the Spinal Tap people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, and
Simpsons
Harry
alum
Shearer.
Harry Shearer. Yeah,
I love
a lot of great voices.
Them.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know.
They
like,
do the Gorgonites.
I like the Gorgonites too.
For some reason, think that there's not enough personality in the Commandos. And I mean, speaking of that, Toys That Made Us, I was just watching, they were talking about the turtles and how, like, when they were developing the toys from the comics, they were like, okay, each turtle needs to have its own personality. And I guess they kind of do a little bit, I mean, with Chip Hazard's crew, but. Compared to Gorgonites, barely. They barely do. They're just badass soldier guys.
And a good way to go about this, if they, I feel like would have been, keep Chip Hazard, but then the rest of them be like plays on like 80s action heroes, like you got the Predator vibes that are going on this. Like, lean into that more, and just have like people like based off like Sylvester Stallone or someone based off like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's interesting. Most of the other commandos are voiced by guys who are in the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of the feeling they were going for, like old war movies. Like, most of the other cast, with the exception of like Bruce Dern and Tommy Lee Jones, like starred in old war movies, like the Dirty Dozen, for instance. But I don't know. It's not like they could have gone as far as having like a tough guy that's just like, you eat this and it'll make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaur. Like, they couldn't have lines like that.
That would have been good.
There's like not enough.
They had to distill it. I think it's kind of toy logic. I mean, like with turtles, for instance, it's like to make, you know, it's like, all right, well, you got that one. He wears red and he has the size. You got that one. He wears orange.
They have personalities though. Like the Gorgonites did. Like, each one of them had their own little kind of thing. Like, just like the turtles, that's, you know, true. Like, I don't know.
I do like how Bazooka,
there's no reason to like the Commandos.
He doesn't have a bazooka. Like, he is the bazooka.
I was a stupid kid.
I love that line.
I was so stupid liking those Commandos because they're not good.
Brian Caldwell, declare your allegiance.
For Gorgonite. Or Gorgon. I don't know. It's
what about like Tommy Lee Jones, right. Like Chip Hazard is on the helicopter and is playing the Valkyrie.
That's fun. Valkyries. I like the smell of burnt
polyurethane in the morning.
The Spice Girls thing was fun, I thought, at the end. I don't know. I like that part. I actually like that part, except for
Christina Ricci, voice of those. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
That were the Gwendy dolls. That was fun.
Yeah.
I guess I see where you're coming from. Because with the Commandos, there is no personality. It's just like a bunch of different. I mean, I love the voices that they have, but it's like none of them have distinct characteristics. It's all like, I'm old Arby voice guy. You know, it's just like, I guess I see where you're coming from.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that would make them fun.
They're like Shane Black in there.
There's like. Like, I don't know. They have to be
fun,
too.
So Major, I was at home and I was talking to my wife about her pussy. What does he say to me? Again, Mike, you can't. It's PG-13. You're limited by your rating.
Yeah, I guess you just can't have Shane Black in a movie that's marketed at kids.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I guess it just, for some reason, this time around, like, they weren't. There needs to be. I think it's when. I don't know. It's basically that I feel like the kid and the family aren't really that interesting enough that when they cut back to the Commandos kind of doing their thing, I'm kind of bored by them other than Tommy Lee Jones. Like, he's kind of just like, you know, doing his thing, and the other guys
just
don't really
the scenery.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even in Gremlins, like, I feel like those freaking Gremlins have more personality. Like, each one you see that you get to like see for a little bit. I don't know. It's missing like a magic touch with them. But I do like the sounds, like the voice, like the voice modulation on them and like the servo sounds. For some reason that sounds good.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, their voices coming out of those toys sound like they are, and they don't sound like, you know, like a voiceover. In my opinion, like, they got like that perfect room tone, like, sound coming out of those toys. It's really cool. I feel like,
yeah, and too, with the exception of the Gorgonite I mentioned, who they just don't model the mouth opening and closing. The fact that they're toys lends itself to kind of the stiffness that you just get with especially CG of this time animating speech. So it just makes it like easier to all swallow. And yeah, it's like. The effects hold up surprisingly well, I'd say.
Sometimes I feel like the especially close up, the only time it gets kind of flubbery is like maybe when it like zooms out and they're like running across the floor or something. Like, I feel like they're a little bit too smooth when they run or something compared to those close ups that are kind of like real, look real good. I feel like, I don't know, but yeah, I think some of the effects are pretty solid.
I think, yeah, there were some moments like, Like when Chip Hazard's doing his roll call thing after, like the, at the night the after Patton the store scene? Is closed down. Yeah, well, there's like a moment when it's like it's just him. It's like a close up, and like that's like somehow that like the CGI looked a little wonky there to me. Like it almost looked like his voice was or his face was too articulated. Like it almost looked like a Toy Story character to me for a moment there.
It wasn't too many years after, so it's like around Toy Story 2
era. For the
most
part, I think the effects hold up pretty well. I mean, this was a pretty big budget movie for the time. I mean, $40 million was fairly big for 1998.
Did you guys recognize that main character, like the 90s boy, is the love interest in Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century?
Can't say I did.
Disney Channel movie, right?
He's straight out of DCOM, but yeah, that's something.
DCOM, for those unaware, stands for Disney Channel Original Movie.
Yeah, Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, holds up.
Would you say that that's like his claim to fame is Xenon?
I think so, because no one remembers this movie, really. Only people.
You think more people remember Xenon than Small Soldiers?
100%, I think.
Wow.
I think so.
I don't know
really?
About that.
I
mean, I guess I can't say. I never really watched Disney Channel growing up, so.
Yeah. I did. I mean, I guess.
More people know Zoom, 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 Make Your Heart Go Boom, Boom than anything in this movie. It's true. Like, the only thing I think you can remember from this movie, like, I didn't remember that David Cross, Phil Hartman, Dennis Leary. I didn't remember that. Only thing I remember is, like, I guess Tommy Lee Jones and Chip Hazard and the Rodeo Burger was the
according
all.
To
the Rodeo Burger.
According to Gregory Smith's Chadpedia entry, it says Smith has appeared in several Hollywood films and is known for his roles as Alan Abernathy in Small Soldiers, and then Ephraim Brown in the television series Everwood.
Who?
Ephraim Brown in the television series Everwood.
Who are you talking about?
Gregory Smith.
This is Xenon kid?
Yeah, the kid who's supposedly most well known for Xenon.
He is.
Not even mentioned in the Chadpedia summary. I mean, it's down there if you read down in the transcript.
I guess.
It sounds like a vast global conspiracy to erase all of the DCOM movies from existence.
It must be.
I mean, that's a major motion picture. Xenon. I guarantee more people have probably saw Xenon than they have seen
Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers
had a theatrical exhibition, okay? you can't tell me Xenon had the same.
I know, but I think more people have probably seen Xenon.
I think
Xenon.
Maybe more people that you know might know Xenon more.
I bet you Xenon, it was replayed over and over for like 10 years. And I guarantee there's probably more. It's like the Netflix model probably have seen it than fucking Small Soldiers did. Because no one's watching Small Soldiers these days. I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in like a long ass time. And yeah, I only remembered Chip Hazard. Well, I don't know. This is a movie I watched a lot as a kid, but the core memories for me were Chip Hazard and honestly, Phil Hartman. Like Phil Hartman, he's one of those guys. This was his last movie, by the way. The movie's dedicated to him.
Yeah, did you see the end?
It's really sad when you think about it. Like, I don't know. For me, I was just thinking of 98 and like where that was in movies and just a couple of years later. Like if he had lived like three more years, we're talking like, I guess I was thinking about it because we haven't talked. Kristen Dunst is a big character in this, and she did Spider-Man in 2001, which was just 3 years after this. So I was just thinking, oh, wow, that's like not too long from that whole thing. And I don't know. You just wonder, like, what would have happened in Phil Hartman's career? You know, what would he have been like in the 2000s era movies? Like movies like where they started casting a lot of comedians in more serious roles, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know, that was a thing. And like
man.
He never got to do
totally
his like serious movie, which I feel like he would have just hit out of the park.
Yeah. It's
so good in this though. It's like every line reading he has, he just elevates.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys that was naturally funny. Like
yeah.
This movie does have like as much as this movie doesn't hold up, in my opinion, it does have one of the best lines perhaps ever in a movie.
Wow.
And it's from Phil Hartman. Oh, I'll say this in a comedy. It has one of the best lines in a comedy ever, and it's Phil Hartman as he's watching TV saying, You know, I think World War II was my favorite war.
That line was great.
That is
great.
One of the funniest goddamn lines in a movie I've ever heard.
Yeah, that was good.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, like that whole scene where he's like setting up his TV and like it like holds up today. He's like looking at the picture, like because he just has his brand new TV and the new sound system, and he's like, I don't know, it's looking a little like dark. Should I adjust the brightness levels? Like I've been there.
That is me. That is totally me.
Yeah. So there was like stuff like that yeah, holds up surprisingly well. And yeah, Phil Hartman is so good as like the asshole rich neighbor. Like it's
kind of typecast it almost as like the asshole neighbor.
He was in that in Jingle All the Way, right?
What else is he in? He has to be in at least a third one where he's
Houseguest? Wasn't he in a movie called Houseguest with Sinbad?
I think you're right.
Sounds right.
Well, that's the asshole neighbor trilogy then, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting. Like we mentioned, it'd be funny if this movie had if this movie had a bit more of the edge that John Dante was referring to. Like, I feel like there's like, and also like if they got into the story, the backstory of the kid and the dynamic between the family. But I would really like to know exactly what all Phil Hartman's character has been doing, because they mentioned some things in the back, like you got your pumping so much juice, like we're all radiated or some shit like that. And then he just looks and he says deadpan, you know, there's never been any conclusive evidence, blah blah blah. I'm like, what has he been up to? Like, I want more backstory there.
Yeah, they imply that, like, well, they don't imply, they say that he's using so much electricity the block is like dimming the lights occasionally. He's like running like a you know what, I bet it is, they make a lot of allusions to Frankenstein. There's the Frankenstein Gorgonite, there's the scene with the Gwendy dolls that's like straight up Frankenstein bringing them to life. I bet he's running like a Frankenstein type experiment in his basement.
Speaking of Gwendy, another great line. This is one of the few really good bits the soldiers have at that whole angle where she's like, cannon fodder Gwendy reporting for duty.
That was good.
Like, that's something that I didn't pick up on as a kid.
The Gwendys are so like crazy because they're like part of how they're brought to life in that Frankenstein scene is their heads are pressed up against muffin tins that are electrocuted, and so as a result all their faces are like gnarly, like melted and re-hardened wax and eyes sticking out of the sockets. That was pretty cool.
That was one of my favorite things about the movie, is the fact that the commandos can turn seemingly anything into whatever they want, like just from common household things. Like, I thought it was kind of fun to see, like, there was on several of their vehicles, like you saw like little cheese graters like attached to the front.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was kind of cool, like production design and stuff.
There was a good line when they like stumble into the dad's like shed with all his power tools, and they're just like, a lot of good hardware in here, boys.
Yeah, because there's never a point when they get like actual guns or anything like that. Somehow they're able to make seemingly like missile launchers. I don't know out of what.
Just like nail guns and stuff.
Yeah, nail guns. Don't you like 9-inch nails?
Oh my God, what a 90s line that was.
That was good. I liked it.
Speaking of 90s, like the end of this movie, I had completely forgotten about this and maybe it flew over my head at the time, but this movie ends with a Titanic reference.
Yeah.
Like, how weird is that?
Iceberg. I hope we don't hit an iceberg.
I'm like, Titanic was that big that they were referencing it in Small Soldiers like a year, 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that same thing. I'm like, ooh, that one.
Yeah,
is
and
like,
the way that is too, it's like, it's like they're going away and facing away from the screen. So that totally could have been like a couple weeks before release. Like, hey, can we get someone in here to do like a Titanic joke at the end?
I believe on the old Reddit, this would probably fall under that old subreddit, aged like milk, I believe.
Yeah. Did you see who composed this movie?
No.
One of my favorite composers, Jerry Goldsmith.
Jerry Goldsmith composed it.
When does Jerry Goldsmith?
This makes sense. This makes sense because he did the score for the first Gremlins movies, 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He also coincidentally did Patton. So when the Patton score comes in, that was his score. He did Alien. He did the Rambo movies. He's a very prolific
like
film composer.
Stagecoach and friggin'.
That was him. Yeah. He did Stagecoach.
Like Stagecoach, like the
Planet
30s?
Of the Apes. Like Planet of the Apes. He did.
I knew that. I didn't know he did I mean, I know he was really old at the time. Yeah. I think he died like in his 70s or 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he died. Wow. Let's see, Chad. When did he die? He actually only died
at like the early aughts.
75, actually, and he was born in 29. So he wasn't crazy old, but he was working all the way till that point. Like his
That's crazy.
Let's see. He did. Like those last stuff he did was like the early 2000s, like The Sum of All Fears and Hollow Man, The Mummy.
Hollow Man.
crazy. Let's see. He did.
You know, it's funny you bring up Hollow Man. Just a brief little aside. Like, for some reason, like Small Soldiers and Hollow Man really fit an era for me in filmmaking. Huh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a whole movie that's built around its CGI gimmick. You know, and this it seems like Hollow Man and Small Soldiers kind of I feel like I can lump those in the same box. Like, the you know, like maybe they don't necessarily hold up now, but it's like at the time they were like so revolutionary in terms of effects. Like, this is such a crazy concept, and thank God for CGI we could realize this.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what else he kind of did. That you're right, though. It is a weird time. It's like this, like, let's see if we can make something with this effect. That's kind of what they did.
Right?
With this.
Seems like so many movies were built around like, well, we got CGI now, we can fucking do anything.
Mm-hmm. But this, I feel like doesn't go overboard with it.
And the practical effects look really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that for the most part, for the time especially, the CG is, dare I say, tasteful. I think like it's helped out by the fact that they're toys. They're not.
Oh yeah, that was the whole reason why they made Toy Story was the first Pixar movie. It's because they were like, oh, they kind of we can't really do photorealistic, but toys don't need to look photorealistic. You know, let's just do toys. So similar thing.
Ironically, by the time they got to Toy Story 3, they did look photorealistic.
Yeah, right. another note I have. Let's see. There's a lot of Universal backlot neighborhood, I feel like, in this movie.
I noticed that too.
The whole neighborhood, like when they're riding, like there's a little bike chase that happens. That's just like the fucking the streets behind the damn Universal Studios, you know, just like riding around. Thought that was kind of fun.
If you've ever been to Universal Studios, you'll definitely recognize it.
Yeah. I also thought that. What else do I? I'm trying to look at all my notes here, just like stuff that I kind of thought stuck out to me. So there's a moment where Kirsten Dunst and the Xenon love interest are like getting to know each other, and they're like, he is like, oh, you're kind of cool, and she's like, you like Led Zeppelin, and I'm like, Joe, like you could like. Why couldn't you pick something from the 90s or at least the 80s? Like, why Led Zeppelin? Like, that sounds like...
Oh, it's funny they, like, go back to that a bunch. Like she says that, and then, like, the next scene is, like, her in her bedroom, and she has, like, a giant-ass Led Zeppelin poster.
Yeah.
And then, like, later, like, Rule Threes, you know? Like, then there's that scene where there's, like, a Led Zeppelin song where they're, like, beating on the Gwendies.
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny. I was just like, why didn't they go like with Nirvana or something for the time? Like, I don't know.
Well, they got Nine Inch Nails covered. I feel like Led Zeppelin is like a perennial, like cool older teen band to
Plus,
be
Nirvana
into.
Plus, Nirvana would have been too on the nose. That would have been like saying, like, hey, do you ever watch that movie Xenon? Oh, I love that movie Xenon. It's like the best movie on Disney Channel.
But yeah, it would have been like saying, like, hey, I hope you don't hit an iceberg.
Yeah, I guess. It just was just like, I was like curious. I'm like, why wouldn't your parents like you watch listening to, I guess the other kids think they're weird listening to Led Zeppelin, which isn't true. I feel like any kid loved Led Zeppelin. It's like the first fucking metal band you listen to as a kid, you know, your parents, you know.
It's like learning Smoke on the Water on a guitar.
I bet, especially in 98, if you're listening to Led Zeppelin, there's some like, wow, you're listening to this like old dumb music, like this is the cool new like fucking Limp Bizkit is out right now. This is real rock.
Papa Roach, man.
This one's boring.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that stuck out to me. Cherry O'Terry showed up for a second. That was kind of fun. She was like the receptionist at the toy company when they were calling to complain about the toys.
I got one thing I want to bring up here, and I think it's interesting. I didn't have a problem with it in this movie. I had a problem with it in the last movie we saw this pop up in. So in Pagemaster, if we're going to think back to Pagemaster for a second, remember we were like, isn't it a little weird that they're like sexualizing the books? Well, we get it again in this movie where they sexualize the toys.
Yeah, when they encounter the Gwendy dolls, the soldiers are like,
oh, mom. We'll take 3 days leave here.
Can I get my dick wet, Major?
Yeah, it's like one step away from that.
But again, I feel like what this movie was setting up in the beginning with the somewhat of an edge, like, I don't mind it in this movie, especially since they're already anthropomorphized and sexualized in the sense.
Like, well, they don't like characters. Go across the toys. Like, it's not like they're sexualized to like the real life kids or that the real life people are sexualized to the toys, which I think helps it be less weird.
Whereas in Pagemaster, they literally have a line where it's like, my pantyhose or some shit. Yeah. So arguably, Pagemaster is the more fucked up of
the
two.
Yeah, the kid is like,
terms of
drags down
kids.
Her pantyhose trying to hold on to her.
So I guess what I'm saying is Pagemaster kind of fucked up looking back.
Yeah.
Nah, it just sucks. Doesn't exist.
Oh, there's some cool stuff on the Pagemaster. Jekyll and Hyde scene, the Moby Dick scene.
Not worth the time anymore, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Page Master.
CGI. It's way better, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. They got war. Yeah, what is? That's like the on-the-nose bullshit, like the fucking Titanic is playing like...
Yeah, and honestly, again, that's like the movie started to lose me a little bit
there.
I think
that's...
Like,
I bet you anything, they were like, this track's hot in Rush Hour. We gotta throw this in here. You know, I bet that's it.
That was another last minute change. Like, Titanic is hot, so is Rush Hour.
Yeah, I think that song War. I can't remember who sang it. That I bet you that was like a hot thing because it was like All Star from fucking Smash Mouth was like in every movie at this time. I think this was another track that was in every movie was War because of Rush Hour.
So. Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually heard the song outside of movies.
I mean, we had like soundtracks, and we probably had this on like three different CDs, I bet, when we were kids, me and David.
It popped up a lot. Yeah, you're right.
And there was like Love is a Battlefield in the credits, and they were like remixed. Did you guys watch the whole credits?
Oh, God.
I watched some of them.
The remix songs I thought were pretty bad.
It's bad. It's super bad. Yeah. And they.
Is there any sort of war reference in these songs? All right. Put them in the credits.
It's like Googled like war lyrics and they put it in there, you know? Yeah. I have this feeling that it's, I think from that quote from earlier that Joe Dante was probably excited about this. It's like, okay, another shot at kind of a Gremlins-esque thing and had probably some ideas that just kind of, it seems like he was defeated. Like he kind of let them
kind of take
it away.
I don't think this movie was like that bad though. I think this was like a,
I just think it's
slightly positive movie, like slightly in the green. I thought it's mostly like pretty good. I think it just like is not all, it's not great.
It's not clever enough. And I think like that he's a kind of a clever guy. And I feel like this just kind of, I don't know, like there's not enough, especially kind of after like how like Gremlins 2 is just like, there's a joke every minute in that movie and stuff. And I know this isn't quite the same thing, but there's something missing. There's some meat on the bone that's missing in this movie. And I can't quite put it off my finger on it. But I think he just feels like he's just kind of doing it for the sake of doing it instead of like feeling really.
I think we've kind of pinned it down. I think it just like has an identity crisis where on the one hand, it's got this satire for adult stuff. But on the other hand, it has this kids movie with the family dynamic. And it doesn't really do a good job of bridging that gap. And some of the family stuff, I think, is just less interesting than the more satire stuff. And the Gorgonites suck, apparently.
Yes, they do. Now you're talking some sense, Mike.
They're the better toy line. Like, they're the better toys. But
Wrong. They have no guns. Are you paying attention? Kids love action.
They don't need guns. They can teach you how to learn, Dave.
Yeah, they teach you about the world.
Too bad they were programmed to win. They have
a... another quote that's in the very beginning of the movie. That I wish this movie got more into, which it kind of does. But I think it's Dennis Leary or maybe it's Jay Moore. Somebody says this out loud, but he says, someday everything is going to be owned by one corporation.
That was a good.
And I was just like, line. Holy shit. Like they were thinking about this time ago.
They knew.
Yeah. You know, that I think that's a good time to bring up in my digging in Chadpedia. I did see that there was a remake plan to this. There was a couple years in development and was canceled when Disney bought Fox and just canned a bunch of movies that they thought wouldn't be profitable enough.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's probably because they're like, nobody remembers Small Soldiers. I mean, it looks like the Xenon kid was in the original movie. We could bring him back somehow, but
well, it looks like it's kind of be like a kind of not quite like a full-on remake, but kind of like I'm seeing the same report, and it was gonna be called Toymageddon. It was kind of the name of it.
It was gonna be Justin Lin too, who directed it, which is kind of fun to think about.
How fucking like creatively bankrupt were they back in the day when they're like, all right, we could, all right, people are just, their brains are mush, like they're fragmented, you know, there's too many things going on, like internet and this and that, there's too many like entertainment
let's
options.
Reboot
like,
Small Soldiers.
Reboot everything. Yeah, let's reboot Small Soldiers.
Well, I think I have the answer. I think I have the answer to your question, Dave, of how creatively bankrupt they were back in the day. You know, I haven't seen this myself, so I don't know. I can't confirm if it ever did come out. But after Justin Lin was taken off this, looks like he was slated instead in 2023 to direct the Hot Wheels movie.
That sounds like a perfect combination.
Yeah, you think they'd get into any satirical content in Hot Wheels, too?
Oh, I don't know. How are they... I'm surprised there wasn't already a Hot Wheels movie. Like, why is it taking this long?
Because it was Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, I guess. But there's no loops and stuff, like loop-de-loops and like...
There's no loop
thing that shoots you, the car's like... and just like flies through and stuff. I don't know. It's crazy.
Are there really no loop-de-loops? In Fast and Furious.
I mean, Ryan, I know you're all about, like, you really hope that Cody someday finds Avatar 2 and we finally get to watch that in store and talk about it. To be honest, I'm kind of more interested to see what the Hot Wheels movie was. Because, I mean, I'm just being honest here, because, like, I never thought, I remember hearing about the Lego movie when they announced that movie, I'm like, that is going to be dog shit. What the fuck? And then it turned out to be great. So, who knows? Hot Wheels. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of interested to see if it was something, like, funny and original or just complete crap.
Wastelanders, if you can hear us and you have access to the Hot Wheels movie, send it our way. We got lots of live wire we can trade in turn.
Yeah, I'm curious. It could be weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, because it's just loop-de-loops and fast cars, and you just drop them down the thing and they go through the loops. It's like, I'm really interested to know how somebody could make that into a movie.
Yeah, kids love cars.
Yeah, and action.
And toys.
Well, it sounds like so it sounds like we're kind of wrapping up on Small Soldiers. You guys got anything else?
I just think my favorite stuff is, it's literally, especially after watching that series, The Toys That Made Us, and kind of like the sort of back and forth with like the creators and the people, the companies that are making the toys and making the TV shows to go with the toys, and like how much that's influenced to like sell shit for Christmas. Like, I almost wish they got more into that. Like, I love the beginning of this movie. I actually like it when friggin' David Cross comes back and is interacting with his toys that are talking to him that he invented. Like, I don't know. There's like, it needs more
stuff.
Yeah, that
was
like
a really
that.
Good moment. He's like so happy to see the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and so it's just kind of like, I don't know. There's a big middle chunk in the middle, I feel like, that's just like worthless in this movie. I don't know, not worthless, but just not that interesting. It's boring, and I feel like I think I was bored as a kid. That's why I never like watched this again, because there's not a lot going on. Except for that, those intro scenes, I feel like, and I like.
I think
the
you
end.
Really nailed it. I think you nailed it. Like, if this whole movie had, if the focus had been shifted to David Cross and Jay Morse, two characters, it could have been like, they really could have done an interesting thing where like the creator meets his creation and vice versa.
Yeah,
like,
lean more into the Frankenstein themes that they kind of set up, where it's like, what have I wrought on this earth?
Yeah,
exactly. And what he tried to bring. And you also could have had a reckoning between Jay Moore and the Commandos. Like, here's what David Cross created with the Gorgonites, like a peaceful thing. And then you have Jay Moore interacting with his creation.
It should have been their
kids. They could have had the scene where, like, Jay Moore is about to
be.
Their
kids.
That's all it needed to be.
Jay Moore could have been about to be, like, horrifically mutilated by the soldiers. And then the Gorgonites come in and save him. And then he, like, learns to be like, okay, David, I guess the Gorgonites.
That's all it needed to be, is that, like, it's to keep them in the story, is that it should have been their kids. Like, that, if you need to have kids in the movie, and, like, because kids play with toys, have them bring one home, and it's just like Gremlins, and it fucking goes crazy, you know?
Yeah, in the remake, they could have been a couple, because, like, it's okay to be gay now. And like, just really streamline the whole thing. So it's just like, just them, just their kids.
Oh, they're gay and they also work together. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, like What'd you think I meant?
I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, I
just,
yeah.
I'm just saying like those two characters have it's just their kids. And like, you don't have to get into like any expanded story. You just keep the whole thing real streamlined.
I guess.
Toymageddon.
It just could have.
I can see it now. Like,
yeah, I don't know, but it's weird. Taking them out of the movie really doesn't do its good service. And oh yeah, who's the guy that he's in Gremlins? He's like the delivery truck guy. That Joe Dante has in every movie. Dick Miller. Oh, so
he was good.
And also, there's a scene too when it's kind of when it finally cuts back to Jay Moore and David Cross, and they're at the laboratory in like the suits, like the clean room suits. And what's that actor too?
Which, why did they have access to that place? They work in the toy division.
Because Globotech or whatever. They like, that was the whole thing, is like, we'll buy you out and you'll have access to all of our material.
Crazy. It's again, so crazy. I wish they'd gotten into more of those angles.
Yeah,
yeah.
The more RoboCop angles.
What was his name? He's the guy that they like talk to about the chips. He's another character.
Oh yeah, he's in like
Picardo. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. He's a good
guy.
Who's
he on Next Generation?
No, he was on Star Trek Voyager. He was Voyager. The holographic doctor.
Okay.
But he always plays like an asshole in Joe Dante's movies. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. So there's all that stuff with those guys. It's all good and fun and satirical. And it just loses it with the kids, like kind of a little storyline, in my opinion. I don't know. That seems like the shoehorned in part.
Well, so we would either of you recommend it?
Oh boy. I don't know. I honestly don't think so. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not
but
bad.
Like, I feel like if you want a movie like this, go Gremlins. It's a much better movie.
Yeah.
Or RoboCop, you know?
Or RoboCop, yeah.
Yeah.
Do a double feature of RoboCop and Gremlins. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I mean, there's great people in this movie. It's definitely, though, I think it is forgettable, which is a bummer because it'd been cool to kind of rediscover it and maybe say, oh, this movie's actually pretty great. And there's good aspects about it for sure. And it's not terrible. It's just, it's a little bit lackluster. And I think I'm glad that Burger King is still selling those rodeo burgers out there, even though they're made with rats now. But I love a rodeo burger. And
Ryan, they're not made by...
The rodeo burger opened my palate up to more things. Like so this is why this movie's memorable, is because it made me try more things. Is because of this fucking movie. So
yeah, I mean, you don't think the small soldiers like is ingrained in the mind? Like, they're still serving rodeo burgers. The legacy lives on.
You can't handle the rodeo burger. Yeah.
All right, well, that was Small Soldiers, and I got to ask, I think I know the answer, but I got to ask, and for no reason whatsoever, mind you, do you guys think this robot toys thing would work as a plan if one were plotting an evil takeover of the world?
You know, if there's no Gorgonites standing in their way, it seems like that'd be a pretty good chance.
I disagree. You know why? Because they're defeated by a goddamn baton rod in this movie. So I would say no. This is not a viable plan. I question Chad's 87% probability.
We didn't talk about that.
Here.
Like, that's one of those things too. Is that when everyone always said, and I think I probably even heard Joe Dante himself on one of his podcasts say this, with like, when you have Chucky coming after you, all you have to do is hit him or kick him, and they kind of
exactly.
do that in this movie. Like, they
you know
actually,
what's crazy? There's the scene we're talking about where Kristen Dunst is whipping them all with a baton looks infinitely better than the same scene in Yoga Hosers.
Oh.
where they're fighting off the Bratzies.
Goddamn Yoga Hosers.
Goddamn Yoga Hosers.
I think World War II was my favorite war.
Uh-huh.